Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord today. Thank God. Glad for Calvary, aren't you? Thankful that hanging on that middle cross. Thank God, the darling Son of God gave every drop of His blood. I like that song, "One Drop He Shed for Me," but really He shed every drop for me. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm glad I'm saved this morning. I'm more glad today than ever have been. The further we get down the road and the darker this world gets, I get more glad that I'm born again. Amen. More thankful for that Sunday night in May 1987 on the 31st in that altar where He birthed me in the family of God. Boy, I'm thankful for that spot that I know that He saved me that night. And I'm glad for that. Amen. Thank God. If you have your Bibles, turn with us to the book of Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter number 4. And I'm just going to read one verse for the sake of time and give you a thought. Really, I've just got a thought, you know, and that's dangerous words for a preacher to say, I guess. But really, and if it's all right, if it won't offend you, I'm going to take my jacket off while I preach this morning. I want to just read verse number 31 of the book of Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter 4 and verse 31, and where the Bible says something like this. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. I noticed those first few words, and when they had prayed. I won't just preach a little while, if God would help me this morning, on when they had prayed. They didn't say when the dear brother had played marvelously on the instrument, or where the dear sister that could sing like Vestal Goodman had sang a special, but he said when they had prayed. Now, prayer is the power that God has placed within the church's hands. Oh, it's a powerful thing when God's people get together and go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, what a wonderful thing when a child of God gets on their knees and begins to cry out to a holy God. Oh, when God's people pray, amen, things start happening, amen. And we see in the Word of God many times where God's people begin to pray. But I'm afraid in our day we have unplugged from the source of power that God has so graciously given us. And just like the disciples, when the man brought his son to the disciples, and he said, "Lord, I brought him to the disciples," and they couldn't do anything for him. Then later they came and they said, "Master, why could not we cast out the demon?" And he said, "Because this kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting." They had unplugged from the power source. They had unplugged from the place, my friend, where the power runs through the church. And how we need to go again and pray and seek the Lord. And I think there's some seekers needed in this day. I mean, some that's really going after God. The Bible said over there, and thank God, the Word of God, He said in James 5:16, He said, thank God, that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Oh, how we need to pray. Amen. Oh, things that we've seen in the church in days gone by, we can have today. But we're going to have to pray. Things that we've seen, the glory fall in the house of God, we can have that again. But we're going to have to go back and pray. How long's it been since you spent an hour just alone with God and said, "Lord, I don't need anything. I'm not looking for anything. I just want to get in your presence. I just want to be at your feet a while and seek your face." Sit over there. Oh, if we're going to see a real revival take place, we're going to have to pray. Amen. He said, thank God, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, He said something like this, "And if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sins and heal their land." Oh, we need to pray. I'll never forget, we was having revival. I took a church pastor and
And we're just going to have revival. Revival was set. Boy, God laid it on my heart for every Saturday night till revival time for us to meet at the church house and pray. I just made that announcement. Said, I'm going to be here praying at 7 o'clock on Saturday night. Anybody wants to come pray, let's come pray. And I had one fella call me and said, preacher, I just don't feel like that's worth my time and gas. Come up there and pray. I'll just pray at home. And I don't think we have to do all that. And I said, you know what the best thing for you to do is? He said, what? I said, stay home out of the way. Amen. We don't need unbelievers in the way when we're trying to pray. I said, there's going to be folk in that altar that's going to be begging God to save their children and their grandchildren and send revival to the house and to the church house too. And we don't need you in the way hindering things. Amen. Thank God it wasn't long he got right with God on that thing, start seeing what was right. Amen. When revival took place and God broke out in there and he felt like he wasn't a part of it. Hey, and he told me, said, preacher, I feel like I'm on the outside looking in. I said, friend, you know what most church members want? They want full-time benefits on part-time work. Amen. That's right. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. You know what I did this morning? I went to my suitcase and I pulled out a pair of socks that I didn't wash, I didn't dry, I didn't fold, and I didn't even pack. Amen. My wife took care of that stuff for me. You know, that's about how most church members are. They want to come to church. They want to get in on the glory. They want to get in on the power, but they don't want to do any work to get there. Amen. Hey, they want somebody else to do the digging, somebody else to do the praying, somebody else to do the preaching, somebody else to do the loving, somebody else to do the giving, somebody else to do the singing, and I just want to sit back and enjoy it. Amen. Preacher, I can't preach. I'm not called to preach. Hey, that's fine. You can pray. Amen. Well, we need some prayer warriors in this day. There used to be a day when there'd be prayer warriors in the barn lofts and in the back bedrooms seeking after God. Oh, we need that again today. Amen. Pray. When they had prayed. The Bible said when they had prayed, according to this scripture, their prayers affected their surroundings. The place was shaken when they prayed. And when they prayed, there was a shaking went on. Hey, you say, preacher, I don't like what's going on around me. How much praying have we done about it? Praying will affect our surroundings. Amen. Say, well, preacher, I come to church and it's just, sometimes I just don't get anything out of it. Did you come with anything to put in? Yeah. Amen. Hey, well, you know, somebody called me one time and said, I'm going to have to check his churches. I said, why is that? They said, that preacher just ain't feeding me no more. I said, well, when I was a baby, my mama fed me. But when I got old enough to hold a spoon, I started feeding myself. Amen. You know, it ain't that preacher's job just to feed you. Amen. You ought to be able to eat some on your own. When I first started, I made a mess out of it, but I got full. Amen. I might have got it all over me, but I got full. Amen. Hey, you know what? We're to come in filled up. Amen. Thank God. Or to come in already prayed up. God help us. I got to hurry. I ain't even got started good yet. I had a granny. She passed away a year ago this past May. She's my spiritual hero in the faith. The prayingest woman I've ever known in my whole life is my granny. I remember my brother called her and said, granny, I got laid off from a job. I want you to pray for me a job. And this was midweek. On Sunday, she come to him and said, Greg, how's the job search going? I said, well, granny, yesterday I got a call. Said they want me to come back on my old job on second shift. And I got another job I could work on third shift. And then there's another place going to pay me on first shift to train for that job. Said, now I just don't know which way to go. Quit praying. You know, and that's the kind of praying woman my granny was. My daddy called her one morning, a Forrest, I'll never forget this as long as I live. Just a little boy made an impression on me for all my life. And I don't think I'll ever forget it. When I was a little boy, there's a forest fire broke out behind our house. I'm from the mountains of North Carolina. Forest fire on the hillside across from the house there. And it started coming down that hill. And it's coming up our hill towards our house. And it jumped that creek and it's coming toward the house. Forestry service came, knocked on the door, said, "Mr. Owens, you're going to have to get your family and your precious prized possessions or whatever you got that you want to take and get out of here." Said, "By lunchtime, your house will be engulfed in flames. You're going to lose everything you got. Whatever you can pack up, get it and get out of here." And they left. My daddy picked up a phone, called Granny, said, "Mama." So they told me that the forest fire is going to get our house by lunchtime. Said, "Pray. Pray, Mama, pray." Said, "You pray and we'll pack." We started packing and doing some things. Next thing I know, about 10 minutes later, here comes my granny up the driveway. Pops open her trunk, gets a lounge chair out of the back and a jug of water. And grabs her Bible. Heads out there, sits on the hill facing that fire. About 10 o'clock, they come back up there and said, "Well, Mr. Orange, we don't know what's happened, but for some reason or another, that fire's went the other way." My daddy said, "I'll tell you what happened. I got a praying mama, and she sailed the hill and prayed that fire of the other direction. Hey, we need some prayer warriors like that. I want to be that kind of prayer warrior. Hey, our praying will affect our surroundings." Amen. Old preacher's cold. Well, get on fire. Amen. Amen. Say, "Oh, preacher, I'd like to see our church just get on fire." You know, it might start with you. Yeah. Fire's catching, you know. Amen. If there's something around to burn. Amen. If you got some good fuel to put on it and some good wood to bring, or hey, if you ain't got none of that, if you can just fan it a little bit, before you know it, that fire start blazing up. He said over there to young Timothy, Paul said, "Stir up the gift of God that is in you by the putting on my hand." That word "stirring up" is not like stirring a pot. No, it said, literally means to bring hot embers to a burning flame. Amen. Amen. We need more than just a little old hot ember glowing in there. But when the wind hits it, amen, when that good breeze of the Holy Ghost gets to hitting that hot ember, that thing starts glowing up. And before you know it, fire starts popping up and it starts burning again. You know what a lot of God's people need to do? They need to get on the altar and clean off some of them old cold gray ashes out of the way. Y'all, any of y'all grow up burning wood? I did. I grew up burning wood. We had old wood heater. And you got to go in there in the morning, get all them cold gray ashes out of the way, because they're not going to burn. They're not going to do any good. And get down in there where their hot embers are. Amen. And put you some kindling in there. And thank God, blow on it a little bit. Amen. My boys as little as just crawling. And there's a little bitty. They had them pastures, you know, hooked to them. Had them passing my, I was in there building a fire, and I was sitting there Indian style, my legs crossed. Next thing I know, here they come, pop, 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 down the hallway. I heard them coming across that hardwood floor, got over where I was at. One of them come across one leg, one come across the other. And about that time, I start blowing on that fire. And them boys pops that passy out. They didn't do much helping. They done more spitting than they did blowing. They popped them passy out and went, poof. I just sort of backed up and let them go. And I just do just a little bit of blowing every now and then. I just back up and go. Before long, that fire popped up. Them boys' eyes got big. They ain't never forgot that. And I want to tell you something, friend. You may not do all needs doing in an altar today. Oh, but I want to guarantee you something. He said, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you." I guarantee you he'll take bigger steps than you will. Amen. I guarantee you get out here and start moving some stuff out of the way. Before you know it, he's going to lean over the banisters of glory and blow on your hot embers. And you'll start burning bright again. Oh, we need some hot Christians again. We need to go back again and pray. Praying will affect our surroundings. Praying will affect us. It made a difference in them. When they prayed. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. Boy, if we don't need a shaking in this day, I don't know what we need. We need revival. We need a shaking in the church. Amen. Boy, we need a shaking in this day. We need to get uprooted from our comfortable spot. Amen. Somebody said a rut is nothing more than a grave with both ends busted out of it. Amen. We're just in a rut. We got comfortable going through the motions. Doing it like we've always done it. No power of God. Oh, I won't see it again. I've been in places. Y'all might think I've done turned Pentecostal or something. It ain't gonna matter. If you're here and you got gray hair, you can probably remember some days when the glory settled on the house of God. Man, I can remember times when they're shouting in the house of God and it sounded like a mighty rushing river in the house of the Lord. I mean, where there's a fullness settled in the house to where you couldn't see the exit signs from the pulpit. I'm talking about where there was a just sort of a fog and a haze had settled in the house of God. Oh, I long to see that again. I want my children to see that again. I want my youngest to get in that again. I'd rather them get in that and get in on it than I had hit a home run in the World Series. Amen. It'd mean a whole lot more. Well, I want my children to get in on it. Got a boy. Been bitter. I told preacher earlier. I told his sister yesterday about it, I think. And about my boy. He got hurt in church. He got bitter. Said, if that's the way church people are, I don't know if I want anything to do with it. Boy, we've been praying. I was up last night praying before I went to bed and I hadn't got to sleep real good about midnight. My phone rang. It's my boy. Whew. Got done talking to him for a little while and I just said, well, Lord, I got down there and prayed earlier. Begged you to touch him. Begged you to somehow or another sever him away from that girl. And you've done all that. Right now tonight, I thank you for it. Well, I crawled out of that bed. I said, Lord, I asked you. Now I want to thank you. Amen. I just want to get out here and thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Lord, what you going to do? He's talking about, well, Dad said I might just move up there with y'all. I said, hallelujah, that'll be good, son. I think that'd be the will of God. Why don't you just come on? We got a place, we'll put your horses, and we'll fix a fence, we'll do whatever we got to do. Just come on. Amen. See, he got so far away from God, he's living in a metal outbuilding. Only had room in there to put a little old twin size bed. He's cold this winter. Didn't have any insulation in there. It's going to get hot this summer. I'm going to tell you children something. You think you can go out there and do it your way? It's going to cost you a whole lot more than you think it will. Had him a nice truck. It got stolen. His total. He owed more on it than his worth. He lost that truck. He lost all that. And then he got another truck. Engine blowed on it. Yeah. Just one thing after another. One thing after another. His prize horse died. Last fall he got kicked off a wild horse, got trampled on, and busted up his ribs, severed his spleen, punctured his lung. He's in the hospital for days, brought him home. He is bad shape. Now he gets sick all the time because he doesn't have a spleen to help with that. He's been embolized now. And I asked my wife one day, I said, what's it going to take? The Lord said, it's going to take some time on your knees. Amen. I want to tell you something. This kind cometh not out, but by prayer and fasting. Oh, God, help us this morning. We need to go back and pray. I read some years ago, it's been years since I've seen it, I read some years ago that the average church member prays less than 15 minutes a week. The average preacher prays less than 20 minutes a week. Wondering where the power's at. Wondering where the glory's gone. We're wondering why church ain't like it used to be. Wondering why we can't have revival like we used to have it. Wondering why our children are getting up out of the age and when they got to where they get on their own and they're turning and going away. There's nothing to hold them in. God help us. We need to go back and pray. Go back and pray. Amen. It affected them. We like to quote that first part of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 8, where he says, I would that men pray everywhere. We don't want to worry much about that second part, lifting up holy hands without wrath. And I want to tell you something, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Evidently, if we're going to pray right, it's going to affect how we live. See, our praying shouldn't be trying to get God's will to match ours or get God to come down to our level and do what we want. But it ought to be a whole lot more of us trying to fit into His will. It ought to be affecting us and our desire and our will and our want and all that we are. Praying ought to affect us. You know why most folk don't pray? Because they know they're going to have to do something about their sin. You go before a holy God, you're going to have to do something about yourself. We get busy praying for everybody else. But when we really get in the presence of God, oh, Isaiah's saying, woe are they, woe are them, woe is that one, woe is this one. But when he got there where he saw the glory of God and he said over there, I think it's in chapter 6, and I thank God there in Isaiah, I think it's where it's at. And he said, thank God that he saw also the Lord high and lifted up and his train filled the temple. Thank God in that place he fell on his face and said, woe is me for I am undone. I'm unclean. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean. We ever get in His presence, we'll see ourselves. It'll be hard to look at everybody else when we sit in His presence. It'll be, Lord, help me. I want to be right. I want to live in Your will. Help me, Lord, to be obedient. Help me, Lord, to be submissive. I want to be Yours. Here I am, Lord. I surrender all to Thee. Oh, what do we mean that from our heart when we sing it? Pray. How long has it been since we just spent some time in prayer? I was in a camp meeting in Alabama back in early February. And Brother Hanley Milby was staying by himself in the room. He said, Brother Dale, won't you come stay with me? I said, we'll be staying in the dorm. He said, won't you just come over here and stay with me? You know Brother Hanley Milby. He said, won't you just come over here and stay with me, Brother Dale? I said, all right. I did. That preacher come to me on Friday morning and said, Brother Dale, won't you preach tonight in the service? See, I thought I might preach maybe one morning. Well, there wasn't that many people there, you know. He wanted me to preach that night, and it's a place, big old church, and it's packed out in the night services. Boy, I'm scared, you know, I'm nervous. I'm always nervous before I preach. Always scared to death. And, well, I told Brother Mim, I said, Preacher, I need to get out somewhere by myself for a little while. He said, go on, Brother Dale, do whatever you need to do. I went in there in that church sanctuary, and I went out behind the choir loft. Went down that hallway and up them steps to the top corner. There's a little room up there. Had a little stained glass window in it with a cross in it. I'll never forget that little room. And there's a little chair sitting right in front of that window. And I got down there in front of that chair. See, I'd shaved that morning. I was going to shave that night for service because I already kind of had a shadow. And I was going to change my tie and my shirt, you know, and all that stuff. I was going to change all that for service. But I got in there. He showed up. And I was going to read, you know, I opened my Bible when I first started. And I was just going to get down there on my knees and just read a little bit, pray a little bit, read a little bit, pray a little bit, just get more prepared. I knew what I was going to have to preach, but I just want to get kind of settled in. And but before I knew it, studying went out the window. The Lord just kind of showed up. And I spent a little time in there. I don't know how long I was in there. But I'm just going to be honest with you, shaving didn't matter. What color tie I had on didn't matter. Whether I made the church on time didn't matter anymore. I was in his presence. And I just wanted to stay right there. Before long, I didn't know where they was at. But the men started praying down below me in the room beneath me. They got to pray in the prayer room. And I realized it's about church time. And I said, Lord, I know I need to go. But I sure don't want to go without you. Lord, if you ain't going to go out there with me, I'll just stay in here. We'll forget about it. And he can get somebody here. Boy, I just like being in his presence. How long has it been since you just got to praying? You forgot about everything else because you just wanted him. Just wanted him. Well, one time I never, well, so many times I can't, I got so much I can tell you, I just don't know where to stop at, I guess, and I'm trying to quit. But praying ought to affect us. Praying ought to affect us. My wife was pregnant with our third child. I was excited. Boy, we had two little girls. Third baby on the way. Wonderful, wonderful. Her and her family sang together, and they was gone singing for a revival meeting. Brother Hannah Miller was preaching revival at Ingleside Baptist Church over in South Carolina. And they was gone singing. I was working at Pepsi-Cola, and I remember she called me. I was working late. She called me and said, Dale, meet me at the hospital. Said, I'm having problems. I said, okay. Her mama took her to the hospital. We got over there. That doctor slapped her on the side of the leg with the back of his hand. He said, honey, you go on home. You say your little old prayers. This one's over. There ain't going to be no baby. He said, it's over. It's over. My sister had several miscarriages, and boy, I knew how that affected her. Boy, I was tore up about that. We went home. I took my wife home and my little girls. I put them little girls in bed. Held my wife while she cried herself to sleep. She got to sleep. I got up, and I don't know what time it was in the morning. I got up and slipped them old work clothes on I'd had the day before. Just took them on, throw them in the floor, so I just put them on. Went down there in that little pine thicket where I'd go and pray. Oftentimes, you know, I'd walk that path when I prayed, but sometimes, boy, when I was just heavy laden, there's a little rock altar down there where I just piled a bunch of rocks out of the yard. That's fair. Every time I'd go out there, I'd just throw a rock on it, you know. Had a pile of rocks out there. And out there, fell down on that rock altar and said, oh, God. Well, next thing I know, he said, son. Well, I felt some arms come around me and hold me that night. I come to myself early in the morning. It's about daylight. I come to myself rolling in them pine needles. I'd done forgot about everything else. All the troubles I had, I'd just been in his presence all night. Boy, I remember that morning before I left the pine thicket, God said, son, I've already took care of this thing. It's going to be all right. I said, thank you, Lord. I just went on to the house. We got in the car. We had to go to the hospital. They was going to do an ultrasound, and they was going to do a DNC or whatever they call it. And my wife said, I told her, I said, honey, now listen. We get there, I don't care what the doctor says. They're not going to do that DNC. She said, well, honey, we just need to, you know, trust the doctors. I said, all that sounds fine and good. I said, but I talked to the main physician last night, and he said everything's going to be all right. Amen. She said, if you say so and God says so, I'll just trust him. I said, amen. Boy, we got there and I sat in that waiting room. I ain't kidding you, with a field stream in my hand. I just a clipping through there looking at the fishing and all that stuff and whistling Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. Boy, I was happy in my heart. I just knew everything as well. Wasn't long they come out there and said, Mr. Owens, you can come back now. I go back there and my wife's in there and the nurses over in the corner. And I walked out, I said, hey, what's going on? She said, I don't know. They ain't told me nothing. I said, well, maybe they'll let us know something pretty soon. And I look over, and there's some nurses over there, and they're pointing at a monitor, and they're giggling, laughing, talking, whispering. Wasn't long a doctor that come in there and slapped my wife on the side of the leg, you know, and said, you're going home, say little prayers. He comes walking in. He said, Mr. Owens, Miss Owens, said, not only are you not having a miscarriage or losing your baby, I said, but y'all are having twins. I said, hey, ma'am. He said, for right now, we'll call them baby A and baby B. I said, well, that's fine for y'all to do whatever you want to do. I said, but doc, ever since we got married for 3 years now, we've been praying for twin boys. We'll just go ahead and call them Joshua and Caleb because I don't think God's going halfway. And I've got a Joshua and Caleb today. It's answers to prayers. I can go back down there in that pine thicket. I got a little old building I'd built down there on the backside of one of them studs. I could take you right now. I wish I'd go down there. I might go down there one day and ask that woman if I can have that stud in that wall. I'll put her 2, 3, 4, 5 new ones in there if she wants them. And if I just have that one out of that wall where I wrote some things on the back of it. And I wrote down on the back of that thing the morning God told me he is going to give us twin boys. I remember that. Boy, and I wrote the date down there. I'd like to have that stud off that wall or just that little section of it. Boy, where God, boy, just some memorials, you know. Boy, some times when you prayed and sought the Lord. Hey, we need to go back and pray again. He still hears. He still answered. David said, in my distress, I called upon the Lord, and he heard my cry. Hey, Jonah sat out of the belly of the whale and called out, and the Lord heard my cry. He will hear you when you pray. Thank God. I can't finish. I'm just going to give you this and I'm going to quit. I thought about praying. The Bible said he's sitting on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Thank God. He's our go-between. He's doing the praying for us. And when we flub it all up and we don't even know what to say, and I don't know how y'all are, boy, sometimes I go to my prayer place and I'm just crying out, help, Lord. You know, I need help. I don't know what all I need, but Lord, I need help. I just want you. I just want, boy, I don't even know how to pray, but he does. Amen. Amen. And you know what I thought about it? If he's making intercession for us to God the Father, that means, and I don't know how y'all believe in it, but I think the Trinity's not the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And it's not the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. No, this ain't Amway. It's the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, all three in one. He's a triune God. He's a three-part God. So if Jesus Christ, and he did say that, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If he's God, then that means God's praying to God on our behalf. And if God's praying to God, don't you think God's going to answer God's request? Amen. I think this thing's fixed, don't y'all? Amen. And then he said over there, thank God that the Spirit within us is making groanings that cannot be uttered. He's praying on our behalf. He's seeking on our behalf. When we don't know how to pray, there's somebody in us praying. And if the Spirit's God and God's praying to God and God's praying to God, God's going to answer God and God's request. Hey, friend, just pray. He said unto Peter, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail thee not. Thank God. Pray. Pray. He's praying for you. Thank God. Boy, we need to pray, don't we? I don't know how to close this out, really. It's just sort of a thought I had. But I noticed over here, chapter in verse 31, it said they were all filled. They had boldness, great boldness. In 33, they received great power. Amen. In verse 33, it said that great grace was upon them all. Over in chapter 5, it said great fear was on all the church. Amen. Hey, their praying affected them, and it affected their surroundings. Boy, we need to pray. You got anything you need to pray about? Man, you got anything you need to just lay out before God and say, Lord, I need to pray. Amen. You know, them old great warriors of the faith were people of prayer. Amen. You spend as much time praying as we do on Facebook. I don't have mine with me. I don't ever carry it in church. But do you spend as much time praying as we do on our cell phones? Texting on the internet or sitting in front of a television. Amen. We need to get off Facebook and get our face in the book. Amen. Need to lay off texting and get our head in the text. Amen. That's right. Boy, we need to get in that thing. Boy, get in that word of God and pray. Prayer is a key that unlocks the door of your heart's desire. God, help us today to pray. If everybody would stand, as far as I know, I believe I've done what God wants me to do. I don't know how to give no invitation or if we ought to, whatever preacher wants to do. I hope somehow or another the Lord has just whet your appetite a little bit this morning to make you want to find a place.